Alrighty, folks, let's rock and roll. Okay, you please put your link in to your homework. You had a couple additional questions to add to
User
the questions
in your
that you
channel
answered.
Started recording.
And you were answering the questions. You were also modifying your answers to account for our discussion. So that's what I want to see right now.
Hello, Professor.
Yes.
I just emailed it to you.
Okay. All right. And so you and I got to get straight on your what's happening with your wiki, too. Right? Because you were going to email it, and then you also were going to put it up there, right?
Right. I tried to do that, but it won't let me save anything. It says insufficient permissions whenever I try to save it.
I see. And how are you logging in?
I'm logging in with the username and the password that you gave me.
All right. And do you have Team Viewer installed on your computer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see what's wrong. I'm going to give you another. Let's see here. You have writer permissions, my dear. Well, I'm going to reset your password. And I'll put your username and password in the private chat. And, strange things happen, so we'll see. All right. Try that, please, ma'am.
Okay. Latessa, I didn't get the other questions.
I don't know why you didn't. I put them in the text chat at the end of the last class. I wasn't to email them to you separately. I put them right there. You saved the text chat from last class?
Let me check. Well, I'm sure I did.
Well, good. Then check it out.
It shows that I didn't say the text chat.
You said you did?
I did not.
Well, actually, y'all, you saved the text chat and put it on the wiki. That has links in it and all kinds of stuff. We've already established that. That's just a regular practice.
I forgot last time, but I do all the other times.
That's fine. See if your classmates can help you out.
Okay.
User in your channel started recording.
You can ask them now. You don't have to go anywhere.
Does anybody have a text chat from last class? Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jabari, I have nothing from you, sir. Did I miss your link? Thank you, Ali, and thank you, Farasha. I'm looking at both of yours work as you have submitted them.
User in your channel timed out. User entered your channel.
Well, Jabari, I hear you. And we will see. So, Kadira, you don't have anything for me at all?
So I did the question. Yeah, I have the answer to the question we did in class, but not the other questions you want us to answer.
Well, what I said is that after giving the feedback, I said, you know, correct your answers if they needed correcting. And this is what I would grade. Yes, it was simple homework. It wasn't hard homework. It was really, I mean, if there's a leg up. So what you give me is what I grade. If you want to credit for something else, then you know the work to do, then do it and submit it and ask for me to consider replacing or at least giving you some consideration for the work that you didn't do. So Kadira, you will give me something or it goes down as a zero. That's why it goes down, because if I have nothing, then I have nothing. If you have something, you give that to me, and if that something is not what you want to do, then you can see submit something else for reconsideration.
When you say submit something else, like what would that something else be?
What do you think? What would you be your guess?
Any other assignment or homework we did in this class?
No, it would be this assignment completed.
Oh.
Okay. So while I discuss with Ali and Farasha, why don't you and Jabari right now go and complete the other two? I mean the other questions.
Okay. This might give me the link I timed out.
I don't know if Ali was able to find it. You might ask them for the questions.
Yeah, I give you the questions.
Okay, thank you.
And so,
I have the text chat on my page, the whole text chat.
Okay, well, she asked for the link if you give it to her. Okay, and so, you have, 20 minutes to add to that and join us back in 20 minutes, please.
Okay.
Okay, both of you, Kadira and Jabari.
User left your channel.
You too, Jabari.
User in your channel stopped recording. User left your channel.
Okay. All right, Farasha, have you been able to get in? Great. So would you cut and paste yours there so that Ali can see yours and you can see hers? You can already see hers because hers is there, but she can't see yours because it's shared with me.
Okay, I'm doing that right now.
Okay.
Do you want the rest of the homework or just this section of the homework right now?
All of it. All that you got.
You want our notes in the story? Link to?
We'll deal with your first your answers to the quiz.
You have my page, right, for Russia?
Repeat that, Allie, please. I'm sorry.
I was asking for Russia if she had the link to my quiz.
Could you put it? Well, it's in the text chat, but you could. Yeah, could you put it there again, please?
Allie, did you alter any of your answers to include what we discussed in class, or did you stick only by what you had already said?
I fixed everything while you were going over it, over my answers in class.
Okay. Farasha, did you make adjustments? You said you did? Okay. All right, so let's go. Let's start with the new questions. Allie, I'm on your page. Let's all click there. You put your link in first. So the last questions.
Yeah, at the bottom. Where it says
at the bottom.
Okay, great. So why don't you read it, and we'll read it with you, and let's see what we got here.
Yeah. Of the three steps, which did Ida B. Wells document and speak on widely? I said brutality. She did many studies on black men who were being lynched because of false claims that they had sex with white women.
Okay. Keep going. Very good.
What is the name of the publications where she documented or wrote about this oppression? The newspaper was named Free Speech. And which step did the story in the movie Once Upon a Time When We Recovered? And I say manipulation and coercion were the steps used in the movie because the white people were trying to convince the black people that the white man's ice was colder, and coercion came in to play when they threatened to fire them if they didn't buy the ice from the white man.
Okay, the second part is true. The first part is not. They weren't trying to convince black people that a white man's ice was cold.
Okay.
You see that? You didn't hear that from them in the movie, did you?
No.
Okay. Where did that come from? That part of a black white man's ice is cold. If it didn't come from them.
It came from you.
Came from who?
From Ajay LaPessa.
No, no. You know, okay, it's going to be important that you pay attention to how that came about. The manipulation was not present there, but was present there, or at least not in the forms that we focused on. It was coercion there. And you got that part right. That is threatening.
I got it wrong because I was saying that they had put it in our head that the white man's ice was colder than the black man's while we were all ready.
That's not what you saw. That's not what was in the movie. Okay, I hear what you're saying. What they put in the movie, because we weren't going for that. See, this is all, y'all, both of you, this is really important. Without these three things coming externally and having an impact, then when we don't, we'll get to it a little bit later on, when we don't surrender, then they don't have the effect. White people are not all powerful. They are powerful. They have power, social level power at the same time. It takes what's been created as a result of these three steps. So in the movie, they didn't care whether we thought a white man's ice was colder or not. They used the threat. If you want to pick and make any money working in this field, then buy your ice from A&D. And what did the people do?
They quit.
They quit. They said, here, take this hoe. You know, I'm not going to be out here chopping today. You know, it's a fine day to be colored or to be black, as they took a stand. So whenever there is force, like brutality, like lynching, like police brutality, like force forcing you, they're not. That's not manipulation. That's straight up force. And then when there's coercion, now so they can coexist. But that's not what we saw here. Okay, so all right. So you get 50% for that one. Okay. Let's go to number 8. Read it, please. Alan?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, would you read number 8?
Imagine the remnants of brutality flow in your family line. How might they show up if that were the case? Imagine that the remnants of coercion flow in your community. How might those show up? Manipulation is likely to be operative in your family. How is that? If you're convinced that it is not, why? How is your family healed from the 3-point attack? I said brutality shows up through domestic violence when the dad beats the mom. Coercion is when my mom makes me go to school every day, even when I'm tired. And manipulation is when my mom makes me healthy food and she buys me to eat it or else.
The last two are not. Because we're not talking about any kind of coercion. It is true that coercion is when your mother makes you go to school or she threatens you for something. So that is true, that is a type of coercion. But we're not talking about any kind of coercion. Would you kind of equate your mother's making you go to school every day to buy your ice from Millie? Buy your music from Millie Cipher, or are you going to be unemployed? Exactly. So when you just go with a general coercion, like a general definition, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about coercion specifically as applied from white people or the dominant culture to Africans to issue a threat that would have us do something that was not in my best interest. You understand, Allie? So it calls for a deeper kind of work and reflection. And manipulation is when your mama makes you healthy food. No, I mean, yes and no, right?
Yes.
Is that the kind of manipulation? So what white people are doing, they've manipulated us to eat healthy,
No.
Or to do healthy things or to make healthy music, really?
Maybe.
Okay, so that's not what we're talking about. Now, the first one could be in the sense that because brutality, white brutality, has had an effect on us, how might white brutality contribute to the brutality that you mentioned here of domestic violence? How might old white brutality and even new white brutality, new as in what you see with police brutality and others, George Zimmerman and directed in our community, how might that contribute to domestic violence? Allie? See, that's the question. You know, you took them out. Your answers were all out of the context of what we're talking about. And if you can relate them, then they're acceptable. If you can't relate them, then you're talking about a different kind of coercion, which is true, and a different kind of manipulation, and a different kind of brutality. The question is, imagine the remnants of brutality flow. How might they show up? So that's fine that you have domestic violence. So tell me, how do you think domestic violence is linked to, or could be linked to, the racist brutality that our people have suffered and still suffer? Please write this down. Okay. So I want you to do that one over. I'll grade this, but if you want to submit another answer for reconsideration, we can do that. All right, Farasha, let's see your 6, 7, and 8. Thank you, Allie. Thank you for jumping in and going at it.
Did you get my link?
I see it in the text chat here. Your pop quiz econ, is that it? All right, so let's go to your 6, 7, and 8. Please read.
Of the 3 steps, which attributes document and speak on widely? What is the name of one of the publications where she documented or wrote about this oppression? Which step is the story in the movie Once Upon a Time in the Republic? My answer was that Ida B. Wells spoke in the first step, which is brutality, in this case, lynchings. The Free Speech newspaper is a newspaper where she was a journalist and spoke out against the issues in the black community. In Once Upon a Time in the Republic, the step that was most prominent, that was utilized was coercion, an undertone threat of being fired from their jobs.
Okay, coercion is correct. Why do you say an undertone?
Well, I put undertone threat because it's not like the most popular type of threat, which would be violence. Mm-hmm. When people think threat, they think.
Okay, undertone means it's implied. Okay, in those situations, and sometimes it is implied, an implied threat. In this case, in the movie, it wasn't implied, was it?
Indeed.
They specifically said, buy your ice from whatever, A&D. So that's not an undertone. Okay? I understand what you mean by saying that's not the most popular or prevalent. Okay? Which actually is not true at that time in 1946 and in the set where the movie was set. Coercion was more prevalent. Just like coercion today is more prevalent than brutality. We still have brutality, but coercion is more prevalent. Do you understand that? Do you agree with that? Okay, so would you change undertone and put coercion in there? I'll give you credit for it because you say the threat of being fired is in fact the coercion that was shown. Okay. Neither of you mentioned Ida B. Wells' publication outside of her newspaper, which is great. I'm glad you got that. Do you know the name of the publication? We've mentioned it several times in this class. Either of you can answer that question. Okay. And you didn't get it wrong. You got it correct because I said one of the publications. Um, It's called the Red Record. Type it in the text chat, please. The Red Record. Why do you think she named it the Red Record?
Well, red is referring to blood, and then record is referring to things being recorded or taken down.
Or done over again.
Very good. So she was talking about the actual brutality there. Click on that link, please.
Loading. What's
up? Okay. All right, so you'll see it says release date February 8, 2005. Does that mean that's that when it was written?
Dead.
Very good. That's when it was put in the Gutenberg Free Press. Okay. Or the ebook system. Scroll on down. You see the red record, and there's a colon. So what's the what's the rest of the title?
Tabulated.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Tabulated statistics and alleged cases of lynching in the United States.
Okay. Farasha, read the next. Paragraph there, starting in
1895. Transcriber's note: this pamphlet was first published in 1895, but was subsequently reprinted. It is not apparent if the periodicities and spelling date back to the original or were produced later. Introduced later. They have been retained as found, and the reader is left to decide. Please verify with another source before quoting this material.
Okay. Allie, the next thing you see is Frederick Douglass's letter. You remember last year how we studied Frederick Douglass and his activity with Araminta to help ferment the Civil War? So he's still around. This is 1895. All right, would you read this? This was his letter as an introduction to the book.
Okay, dear Miss Wells, let me give you thanks for your faithful paper on Lynch abomination, now generally practiced against colored people in the South. There has been no word equal to it.
Hello.
Sorry, there has been no word equal to it, convincing power.
Wait. You've missed a couple of words as you've been reading. Would you read that sentence again and read the words that are on the page? Just read it.
All right. Dear Ms. Wells, let me give you thanks for your faithful paper on the Lynch abomination. Now, generally practiced against colored people in the South. There has been no word equal to it, convincing power. There has been no word equal to it in convincing power.
Okay, good. Keep going.
I have spoken, but my word is feeble in comparison. You give us what you know and testify from actual knowledge. You have dealt with it, with the facts, with cool, painstaking fidelity, and left those naked and
uncontradicted facts to speak for themselves.
Great. What is painstaking fidelity? Anybody? What is that?
I know what painstaking means. I don't know what fidelity means.
Okay, look it up.
Taking or characterized by taking pains or trouble, spending or showing diligent care and effort, careful.
Is that painstaking or is that fidelity?
Painstaking.
Okay. All right. So what's fidelity? Good. Good. So you got one part, painstaking. So what's fidelity?
Faithfulness to a person, cause or belief demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support.
Continuing loyalty and support. So what does he mean here then? Painstaking fidelity. You have dealt with the facts with cool, painstaking fidelity. So what do you think he means here?
She hasn't sugarcoated anything. She stuck to it.
Yes, fidelity is loyalty, is truthfulness, it's loyalty. If someone has been faithful in a relationship, okay? So, very good, Allie. Faithfulness to a person, a cause. So she has not strayed from it. She's been faithful to the facts, to the truth. Okay, Farasha, read the next paragraph, please.
Brave woman, you have done your people and mine a service which can neither be weighed nor measured. If the American conscience were only half alive, if the American church and clergy were only half Christianized.
Clergy.
Clergy.
Do you know what that means? The preachers. They're called clergy. Clergymen, clergywomen, the clergy is the class of people in the church that are the preachers. The priests, okay?
All right. If the American church and clergy were all Christianized, if American moral sensibility were not hardened by persistent infliction of outrage or crime against colored people, a scream of horror, shame, and indignation. How do you pronounce that?
Very good. Indignation.
Indignation.
Like indignation. Somebody who's indignant, think about digging, okay? In the last part, nation, indignation, okay?
I know what it means. It's just hard to pronounce it sometimes.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying if you emphasize dig and you see dig, then it will be easy because you already got in. You have nation on the end. So if you focus on dig, then I think it will make it easier, okay?
I mean, Madassi. And indignation would rise to heaven wherever your pamphlet shall read.
All right, finish it out, Alan. That's actually shall be read, my dear. Parasha, you said wherever your pamphlet shall read.
Oh, sorry, wherever your pamphlet shall be read.
Very good. Please get into practice of reading what you see. Okay, it changes the meaning if not. Okay, Allie, finish this letter out from Douglas.
But alas, even crime has power to reproduce itself and create conditions favorable to its own existence. It sometimes seems we are deserted by earth and heaven, yet we still think, speak, and work, and trust in the power of a merciful God for final deliverance. Very truly and gratefully yours, Frederick Douglass.
Good. Okay, so we're just going to scroll through the table of contents, and this is yours to keep for you to look at yourself. We may come back to it. We're not going to do it today. The table of contents, chapter 1, the case stated. Chapter 2, lynch law statistics. Lynching imbeciles. What is an imbecile?
Idiot.
Ignorant. Stupid. Lynching of innocent men. Chapter 4. Lynched for anything or nothing. 5. History of some cases of rape. The crusade justified. Mrs. Willard's attitude. Lynching record of 1894. And the remedy. Okay. So this is also one of her publications that still exists to this day, called The Red Record. All right. So let me get back to Frasha as you were going through your answers. Okay. I'll look forward to y'all should know, in addition to the Free Speech newspaper, you should also know, be able to in the future, know of the publication, The Red Record. You should know when it was published and what it was about. Annie or Debbie? Okay. You should also know that Frederick Douglass wrote the introduction or via a letter to her, and basically what it said. You don't have to know it word for word, but basically what it said. Okay. Back to your page, Farasha. I'm there. Would you continue?
Please explain what a white man's ice is colder than a black man's ice means, and how it may have evolved in our community. My answer was, that phrase represents the faulty persona and or facade that white companies have adopted, and that we have embraced. It means that though Jamal and Bill both sell the same thing at the same price, Bill's is better because he is white, and therefore his product must be better. Because white people supposedly have better products and better condition, and they won't cheat you like your brother.
Microphone activated. Microphone muted. Microphone activated.
Thank you, Farasha. I'm sorry I was distracted for a second. So I'm reading what you read. Okay. Now, Farasha, that you explain what it means. The white man's ice is colder. Why is it ironic, Farasha? What's the irony in the phrase?
The irony?
Irony.
Irony, mostly. I think the irony is they say white people are cold. The white man's ice is colder than the black man's ice. I think that's the irony. That's the only thing that I can figure out about it.
Okay, that's a good guess. What about you, Allie? Any irony?
They threatened for them to lose their jobs, but without their jobs, they couldn't even buy the white man's ice, even if they went to.
Okay, that's a good guess. What temperature? At what temperature does ice freeze? I mean, does water freeze?
36 degrees.
Close.
39.
You're going further away.
Is it 32 degrees
Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit.
It's 32 degrees. So the irony is that ice is ice. Okay. So this is not something that white people say. It's something that it's a commentary on it. You know, embedded in is both the meaning and also the criticism of it. It's like being sarcastic. Okay. And so you're right in the sense of it means that the white man's products, services, skin, language, culture is better. That is the first part. How it may have evolved in our community, you don't address. Or tell me how is that? Do you address that?
You're asking me how it's addressed in our community?
The question is, please explain what a white man's ice is colder than black man's ice means and how it may have evolved in our community. And as I look at your answer, I don't see it. Am I missing it?
You're missing it, and also I didn't put it in there as boldly as I should have, making it specifically, this is how.
Well, where is it? What line refers to?
When I'm using the example about Jamal and Bill, how they both sell the same product, and Bill's is better because he's white, and therefore his products must be better.
Well, that's only explaining what a white man, that's explaining what it means, that a white man's ice is gold, basically because Bill is white, Bill is better, or Bill's products are better. You know what I'm saying? Because you just said they sell the same thing. So you're not saying that we experience it as better. We tell ourselves. That's. I don't see an explanation of how it may have evolved.
Right.
Okay. And we took some good time that. And upon doing that, you actually summarized. And when I tell people what you said, they are quite impressed. When you said, so the older generation sometimes lies to the younger generation to protect us, and we take the lies as truth and repeat them. Do you remember writing that?
User disconnected from your channel.
Well, that is quite on time and profound. And I have in Chicago and in Cincinnati repeated your exact words. And people are like, whoa. And so that is how, you remember how we talked about how it evolved, may have evolved? In fact, I did a whole, when I was in Cincinnati, I asked somebody to act it out. So I said, you're a white woman, you know, you're trying to force this black person to buy from the white company to run the black guy out of business. Cleave. So I made one person cleave, made this person whatever. And I said, okay, so she works for you. Now, what you going to say to her? You're the white woman. And she says, you better buy your ice from A&D or you're fired. I said, whoa, you didn't even watch the movie. How'd you know how to say that? And then I played out the other parts. I said, okay, you are talking to a gentleman in the audience. I said, you have been working for this white man. You are maybe you just had a baby in the family. And
user in your channel is recording
right now. You don't have any savings, and you can't afford to lose your job. And she tells you the same thing. She told her that you better buy your ice from A&D. What are you gonna do? He said, "Well, I want to quit." I said, "I know. Just get in this case, you can't. You know, your baby may starve." Whatever. I said, so when you come home, you have an older child who's been used to going out and getting the ice off Cleve's truck. And now you got to tell him that you're not getting no ice from Cleve anymore. I said, so what are you going to tell him? You going to tell him the truth? And we went through the whole thing. And
user in your channel is recording.
Well, if you tell him the truth, in this case, he is likely to tell you to quit. So people guessed that, And I said, and he doesn't have any idea what it takes to hold a family together. The bills, because he's only a teenager. He's not having to carry those worries. And I said, what else he'll do? And somebody says, well, he'll want to go and fight that injustice. I said, And he's not ready yet. He doesn't know what he's up against. And I asked them, the whole audience, so what would you tell him? One person said, Cleve's ice is not as good quality. Another one said, well, Cleve ain't hiring, so he doesn't give me a job. And so they generated a lot of the things that we hear said about our products. And they were designed to be protective on our case. And it both protective of us to the extent that I may be ashamed if I'm the parent of making that decision or needing to make that decision to capitulate. Capitulate means to give in. Okay. So
user in your channel is recording.
My sense of self, and also it's protective in some ways of the child. Do y'all remember that discussion that we had in our class right here? Does that make sense to you of how it may have evolved in our community? Capitulate. Try it. Try it for Russia. Capitulate. Capitulate. Very good. Everybody look it up. Make sure it's in your vocabulary. Capitulate. To give in. So that part you don't answer how. And for Russia, that question was written with your name all over it. Okay. Keep going, for Russia. Let's go to number 8. Kadir, we are click on Farasha. Would you put the link to your page in again?
Okay.
We're going through questions 6, 7, and 8. I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay, you got it. All right, great.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so number 8, Farasha, please read.
Imagine the remnants of brutality flowing in your family line. How might they show up if that were the case? Imagine the remnants of coercion flow in your community. How might those show up? Manipulation is likely to be your to be operative in your family. How is it? If you're not convinced that it's not, why? And how is your family?
Wait a minute. Read that sentence again. Not if you're not convinced. Thank you.
If you're convinced that it's not, why? And how has your family healed from the 3-point attack?
Okay.
I think manipulation flows in my family. You would be able to see that if you met my great aunt on my grandmother's side. My grandmother's younger sister combed her hair until it fell out. Now she wears wigs, pieces, and weave constantly. She gets her nails done all the time, and I haven't seen her real nails since I was a toddler. All my grandmother's siblings love Afrocentric, quote-unquote, stuff. However, European standards of beauty are still beautiful to them. The other night, I put on one of my grandmother's old pieces. She was, and then in parentheses, I explained that. She said I look nice. They still think you have to have a 5- or 6-figure job to be well off / successful, and that's what they push, even subconsciously so, to go to college, get a degree, make a lot of money. However, I think that they are slowly but surely overcoming that as they see the real deal and scam of life in America.
Very good. And answering to the last part, and that is, how is it likely to be operative manipulation? Very good. You ignored the first question. Right? And the second question. You see those questions?
I'm rereading the question. I see it again.
Okay. Before we go into those two, let's get clear about manipulation. When we're talking manipulation, we're talking of what psychological and social things that Europeans do or have done or say that take the place of force or coercion. Remember, the operative word is resistance. And when you're oppressing someone and you want someone to work for you, okay, as Europeans captured us from Africa, invaded and captured, and wanted us to work for them, force works for containment. Please type that. Force works for containment. Do you know what I mean by containment? You hear that root word in there? What do you think that means, containment?
To contain something, to keep it in a box, mm-hmm, without branching out.
Right, so you can put chains on my arms and legs and I can't go. I'm contained. Okay? Now, if you want me to pick your cotton, take care of your children, work for you, then can you chain me to the cotton plant?
Figuratively so.
Say that again.
I said figuratively so, yes.
Yeah, figuratively so, yes. Very good. Actually, though, other than figuratively so, you can't. Okay. So it's inefficient to try to force me, literally for somebody to force my hand to pick up cotton. So it's easier to use coercion. And that's the threat. So let's say I was a captured African, and I said, you know what, I ain't picking no cotton. Kill me, but I ain't picking no cotton this day. Forget it. How do you think they use coercion on me?
They threaten your family.
Very good. So you see that daughter you got over there, son? They'd come back a little bit later on and they'd have a bloody handkerchief with two fingers. And they would say, how many more of your daughter's fingers do we need to bring you before you start picking some cotton? I'm not exaggerating. This is what was done.
Right.
And even greater than that. So now, am I likely to go pick cotton?
Kanye.
Okay, so force creates the most resistance when someone's trying to force you. If somebody was literally pushing you out of the door, pushing you out of the house, you more likely are to resist, right? There's more resistance that you have.
Yeah.
All right. And so force creates the greatest resistance. When people want you to work for them, they need a system that is efficient. So you go from force to manipulation, force and then coercion. And coercion is a threat of something that you care about or whatever. If I wasn't caring about, in the example that I use when I'm going, once upon a time we were colored, I guess you don't see that in the movie. It's just my example from that, because they couldn't show you every scene of everybody. You have some people standing up and say, I quit. You know, I'm not going to take that. Then you have others, you might guess, who would say, I got to stop buying the ice from A&D because it may be a threat. Them quitting might create some death-like or harmful circumstances to their children. Right? You know, in the case the child may be go hungry or starve or something like that. So that's coercion. And Farasha, you introduced implied coercion, which is excellent. There was an attorney, a law professor, that there is. She's living here in Atlanta area. And the city is wanting to condemn some of their homes in that area and build some kind of park and something. And she and the other residents, mostly black, said they don't want that. And so she started having meetings to practice her democratic right to organize people to say we are against that and we want to stop that. And so at one of the meetings, a newspaper person came and took pictures and reported it in the newspaper. It was on the B section, the front page of the B section of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And so when this law professor went to work, back to work, expecting to get some affirmation from her using her legal awareness to help citizens stop government from doing something that the citizens didn't want, one of her professors, or excuse me, colleagues, not a professor, because she was a professor, one of her colleagues, said, oh, I see that I saw you on the B section. She said, yeah, you know, we really, you know, were standing up and showing the residents how to, you know, stand up for their legal rights. And the person simply said, remember where you work. Was that a direct threat?
Deadly.
Was it implied?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of implied threats. It's coercion on jobs and places. Now, separate and apart from manipulation. Manipulation, then, if you surrender, and we talked about this last time that I would introduce this. If you surrender, whenever there is oppression, you either will resist it. There are three things. Please put in the text yet. You will resist it, you will retreat, or you will surrender. Y'all got those three? I'm waiting for them to show up in the texture. Now that resist can take many forms. My father was, that movie, Once Upon a Time We Were Colored, opened, and that is the set, was set in 1946 in Mississippi, and it went to like 1962. That's the time span in the movie. Well, I was born in 1957. My parents were born in the 30s, 1930s. So at 1946, I would have experienced the very same thing. My dad was born 31, so he would have been 15. And there was an ice house that we had to go to. So my dad could resist oppression. He could retreat or surrender. We talked about retreat last time. Kadira, what's retreat?
I don't recall what retreat is.
What do you think? Ty, what's retreat?
I'm not sure.
J, Jabari, what's retreat?
Retreat is, you said what's retreat?
Yes.
Oh, that's easy. Retreat is when you run away. So, in other words, to make it sound as, lame, you live to fight another day.
And why do you think that's lame?
Well, I mean, like, running away sounds lame, but saying that you want to live to fight another day sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are different, because run away can also be surrender.
Like you're running away from a problem?
Yes, you could run away from a problem. You could run away from a person. Or you could just give up to the person. But still, whether or not what you're doing is surrender or retreat is an important distinction. It can look the same. I can even appear to surrender if it's retreat. Isn't that right, Allie? Let's say someone pulls a gun on me and I said, okay, I give up. What do you want me to do? In my head, I can be still saying, I'm just waiting till you turn your head. I'm just waiting for when that gun is at another position. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't tell surrender or retreat just by the overt actions. You can tell it by action over time. So, in each of our families, way before us and often way before our parents, there was oppression. There were ways we resisted it in different areas. There were ways we retreated. That is, either pretend that we surrendered or we ran away to live another day. Or you can run away and then surrender later on. Okay, but you know, surrender is I'm stopping fighting. I'm not going to resist that white is right. I'm not going to resist that white people's culture, their way, their thinking, their schools are better. Now, if before me my father surrendered, and in some ways he did, some ways all of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they did all three of these. It's important to know how they resisted, because usually in ways they resisted, you also know how to resist, because it comes down as a family tradition. Are y'all understanding that? Do you understand that concept? Like, what are some ways your family has resisted oppression historically? Some things your family just doesn't go along with.
Well, my great grandfather, Martin Luther King, for voting rights and stuff. And then on the other side of my family, on my grandmother's side, they never taught us about certain European history, how certain white people were supreme or above us.
Excellent examples of resistance. All of us should know many examples of your family resisting. Whether it's overt resistance, marching, shooting, back, killing where necessary, and other kinds of resistance. Not repeating stories of white supremacy, continuing to love and laud Africa, African beauty, African concepts, what are some ways? So y'all got that right there in the text chat. I want all of you to know examples of resistance, how your people in your family, extended family, have resisted oppression. Type that in the text chat. That's something I want you to know.
My family is actually the only family on both sides that is, you know, into this whole conscious thing.
Well, even if you're not in conscious thing, our people have resisted. You'll find examples of all three of those. Some may be more prominent than others. Okay, your job is to find the. Here's a form of resistance. It used to be in a song. We used to be on the plantation, bound and under gun. And so we'd sing, I got shoes, you got shoes, all of God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, gonna put on my shoes, gonna walk all over God's heaven, God's heaven, God's heaven. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, heaven. Did you get the resistance? Did you get the resistance? See, somebody think we're talking about heaven. And we say, oh, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Who do you think we were referring to?
Hey, wake up.
Exactly. Essence? Told you about.
Essence told me about your singing.
She told you that I can't sing very well.
No, she said you had a nice voice, like an old spiritual voice.
That's funny. Okay. So there are examples, Jabari, of resistance. See, it's a natural thing when you're pressed, when you're. If you know physics, you know whenever there's a pressure, the object presses back. Did y'all know that? When you press on a desk,
yes.
The object presses back. Well, same thing with people. You oppress people, treat people unjustly. There is resistance to it. Your job is to know how to find it. Because sometimes, why couldn't they just say, white man, I don't want to hear nothing about your religion. You can't tell me nothing. You kill my mama, kill my daddy, dog. Why couldn't they say that? Why couldn't the resistance be open and overt?
Because they would have got killed.
Thank you. Very good. So it's understandable that much of the resistance was indirect. Now, of course, some was direct. Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Ida B. Wells Barnett, Araminta. Many times, though, it was indirect. So it's important to find it. It's a natural thing, and it's there, and you need examples of it, even for those people who, in some ways, also surrendered in other ways. So there's resistance. In my family, my father always bought from black people. If a black person opened a restaurant, opened a store, he was going to stop by. If he didn't have much money, he's just going to buy a pack of gum as a way to say, I support your brother. I support your sister. Okay. He loved supporting black business. So he didn't go along with that. He resisted the notion that, you know, white people's business is superior and it doesn't matter, you know, what business you support. It's a free country. Everybody ought to support everybody. He resisted. Now, in other ways, he retreated. In other ways, he surrendered. A retreat is just as you said, Jabari. You retreat today, choosing to live to fight another day. Now, what makes retreat different than surrender is that last part. That you're asking yourself, is this the day to fight? Is this the day to take a stand? So if we were on a plantation or in any situation and I didn't, and they threatened me with your life, that is, if I were to say something else, do something else, if I didn't capitulate, then they would kill Jabari. And I said, no, Jabari's my son. I ain't going to have none of that. So yes, what you want me to do, boss? And I'm looking for whatever opportunity we got. And as soon as I get an opportunity, I'm either taking him out or I'm leaving. Isn't that right, Jabari?
Right.
Now I'm looking for the time and for the way. So I've not surrendered. And I said, Mr. Jim over there, he's a good man for a white man. You got the last part?
I want you
to know the difference between a real good man and what I'm having to say. Okay, or for that particular qualification. Because for us, a real good man would do something different. So it's required that if you treat, you are looking for a time to fight or flee, so you're out of that oppressive situation, and that is a time to resist. You make sure that while you are doing things that look like surrender, that you are explaining those to those children and other people around you. Or else they will take your retreat as what?
Cowardice.
They'll take your retreat. If I don't explain to Jabari, Jabari hear me saying, yes, massa, wasn't yes, boss. What do you want? Then I got to at some point pull Jabari to the side and said, we doing what we got to do right now. So he knows that the mask that I'm wearing is a mask and not my real face.
Right.
I suppose I don't let him know that. I don't let him know that I'm saying white man's ice is colder than the black man's ice. That Cleve's ice is not as good a quality or it smells bad because of a threat or because we have to, even though I don't necessarily explain all the details. If I don't let him know that I really want to support Cleve, but I can't right now, then he will repeat for Russia as if it is true and act on as if it's true that what you can get at Macy's is much better than what you get at Ma Rainey's, that Beethoven is better music than Ella Fitzgerald. That a violin is a more superior instrument than a bass guitar. So, whenever there is surrender, then we literally surrender. That is, there is no more resistance, and we accept. I want you all to imagine something for me. Okay. Imagine that you're on a captive ship, that you have resisted and your families have resisted European captivity, and any Africans who they coerced to go along with them, that your family resisted and died fighting so that you, a 13, 14, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, would not be taken into captivity. And still you were. You were marched 300 miles. You were in a dungeon, filthy dungeon. They branded you with a hot iron It said BRC, British Royal Company. You were property like cattle. And now you're on the captive ship making this voyage over here. And so they bring you up along with others. And one of the captors somehow takes a liking to you, sees something in you, and decides he wants to educate you to the ways of the West. And he wants to teach you about justice and law. Would you really listen for Russia?
No.
How about you, Ty? Would you listen to what this person had to say about law and justice?
No.
Well, Allie, they might want to teach you about family and family values and justice. Would you listen, Allie?
Maybe.
Well, I know. They want to teach you about how to organize a society. Teach you about government. Would you listen, Jabari?
Of course not.
Could they teach you anything? Would you really listen to anything they'd have to tell you?
That really puts it in perspective.
You see, they are not, in your mind, I want you to write these words, they are not competent or legitimate authority.
May you repeat that, please?
Yes. They are not competent at that time, in that situation. They are not competent. What does competent mean?
I'm not sure.
Up to par. Up to standards.
Right. They're not competent or legitimate authority. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have the upper hand. They have a gun or guns or whatever, chains. They are not competent or legitimate authorities. And y'all can look up how you spell competent. Make sure you got that. Legitimate authorities. The word is authorities. Competent, legitimate. In your mind, they're not. Can they tell you? They just killed your parents, your grandparents, laid waste to your village. And you're going to go and they're going to teach you about law, about justice, about raising family, about family values, about God. Really? You think you'd listen to what they say about
it?
No.
Of course not.
Mm-hmm. Very good. No, you would. And so part of what we've been looking at is then how do we go from then, where we refuse to see them as competent and legitimate authority, to where now we pay them to tell us those things. And we do what they say without question.
Hey, wake up.
Thank you, Farasha. Appreciate that. Do y'all see where we are?
Mm-hmm.
And the way we get here is force to manipulation. Our people are not stupid. We're not weak. We are wounded and recovering. Okay. So we've looked a little bit at force and coercion. Whenever there is prolonged brutality and coercion, there will be resistance, retreat, or surrender. If and we seek the favor of the oppressors as an adaptation to survive. In which case their influence, their liking us, is their source of power over us. Now, if we retreat and not surrender, then if we surrender, it opens the door, and not if we, in the ways we have. And what I mean by this, and this is why I want us to be good to our people. I don't beat up on black people. It doesn't mean that I'm not critical. It means I'm also understanding. Okay? In the ways that my ancestors before me surrendered, because we resisted and we retreated, and sometimes that retreat turns into surrender. Sometimes the brutality is so great. Sometimes the time is such that a elder didn't let us know that the mask was a mask and we thought it was real, and so we learned it from them. And so with that, in the ways that my family surrendered is the way that then I come to see what white people do, what they say, as competent and legitimate authority. And if in my mind I see them as competent and legitimate authority, then I go along. So there's manipulation. So don't get it confused about if we're repeating what they say. Manipulation is something that is done to us. We may go along with it or even repeat it, and that's our woundedness. If there's a manipulator, that manipulator is manipulating me for their advantage. Okay, and I'm talking about race here. I'm not talking about an individual. Yes, I can lie to somebody so that they'll buy my product and all that, and that's manipulation. But here we're talking about in a bigger context of how our people now come to be doing what we're doing. And why is this important, and why does this have to do with economics? Because we have to address ways we're being manipulated and stop being manipulated, so that I have to have Jordans. Does Jordan own the shoe company?
No.
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 No. Let white people buy. There are all kinds of manipulation. If we're going to create an economic change, we're going to have to know how to address these and how they exist in our family and our community. And I don't just mean condemning them. I mean helping to heal from them. And we learn how to do it in the larger community by learning how to do it in our own selves and in our own families. That's what also makes me humble and not arrogant. We cannot sustain and recreate a new in the movie Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored, in that last scene, that resistance was necessary, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did Cleve go out of business because the white folks start taking Mr. Stein stop taking orders from him?
No.
Why was he able to stay in business?
Because his people kept supporting him.
Indeed. And so they had to deal with the fear of coercion. Had to face it in order for there to be in that instance economic success. It is not just a good idea. Okay. Good ideas are important. They're necessary. Good products are important and necessary. But you must also, as IA students, be aware that oppression still exists. All three of these elements exist. And we must know how to challenge them, and we also must know how to help our people heal from them. Or else, we're not going to be able to succeed. So I don't want you to think that just a good idea. So if you ever plan to go in business, you also want to be supporting your community healing from wounds of oppression. Because the more they're healed, the more resistance they have, and the more support they will give you. Do you see the economic connection? What did Cleve say in the church when he first learned that the woman quit her job?
He said, "I don't want anybody losing their jobs in the family."
Right. So he didn't say, "You punk, you should stand up." He was understanding. He was determined. And he was understanding. Do you understand those qualities that are different from if he'd have stood up and said, you know, doggone right, you ought to quit. And that person over there, you know, he didn't quit. He was a punk.
So that doesn't get anything done.
Say what, Jabbar?
I said that doesn't get anything done.
No. He's only doing white people's work. He's putting us down. He's acting like he doesn't understand that the condition, the oppression that we're in. Did he want people to stand up? Sure. He also didn't want people to be harmed. And he knew that that was a very real piece. And because of that, they wanted to stand up even more. And they stood up because he stood up. When they offered to buy him out, what did he say? Did you watch it? What did he say when they offered, the white company, A&D, offered to buy him out?
David.
What did he say?
He said, "No, thank you."
He said, "Yeah, I'll sell when hell freezes over."
Ah, I like that.
Now, y'all, if you're going to understand oppression, economic building, alternative economy, you got to understand what we're, the environment. All right? Now, I'm going to end. I'm over time by a minute here. Do you remember the piece by Amos Wilson that I heard you had you listen to? What makes you want to do what you want to do? All right. You might listen to it again. Okay. And the two components is we're induced to believe that we are inferior, ugly, unkept. And then we seek to compensate. And people can make lots of money trying to help us compensate. I'd rather make lots of money trying to help us heal from those wounds. Okay. Well, thank you all. Thank you for Russia and Allie for doing your work as you were asked or required, and for also going over it here. Jabari and Kadira. Jabari, did you put your link into your work that you did?
I didn't.
Please do. As we move away from this part, this unit, it will follow us. Okay? We will refer back to it. So it is absolutely critical that you know each of these elements. None of them are throwaway elements. Force to manipulation, you got to know. Retreat versus surrender, you got to know. Okay? That we did as African people what everybody else does and what's natural for human people to do, and that is to build things to support yourselves and the world, and to as build businesses and other things, and then to support those. If you don't know those, then you will continue to say something foolish like black people never support each other. I provided an option for that kind of criticism in this class. What was it? If you want to be critical of black people supporting us, what's a way to do it without making a false statement and continuing the lies that black people never support each other? What's another way to criticize or to call up or express your sadness or scare or whatever feelings or thoughts about us not supporting each other? Allie?
Dealing family?
Yeah. Huh? You can use the feeling families if that's what you're saying. Now, we've talked about it here. Anybody else? What's another way to say it? It's a short statement you can say. It's like many people you hear all the time, right? Black people, we just don't support each other. Y'all hear that, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't expect, as an IA student, I don't expect you to say that because you know better. You couldn't say that, and there would be no Sweet Auburn if that's the truth, okay? There'd be no Black Wall Street in Durham or in Tulsa. There'd be no Rosewood. So this is not the case. So what else? Typically, a person is wanting to be critical of our support for a particular business at the time. Yes, Rasha, I'm finishing. I'll give you 15 minutes. What's another way to be critical without repeating the lie? I'll say it. I want you to type it. You're not wedded to it because there are many different ways. Here's just options. And as part of the economic conundrum, you learn what the real deal is, both where we're dealing with banks and where we're also dealing with each other. And that is what I say, is that I like when we support each other, and I'd like for us to do it more. Or I might say that black people have not supported this business as much as I would like them to. Type into the text chat. Do you see the difference, Jabari?
Yes.
Okay. I'm watering the seeds and not the weeds. I'm not saying pretend that black people support us as much as we need it or want it or deserve it. I'm saying I'd like for us to do it more, as opposed to we don't do it. Because it's just not true. It never has been true. Most black restaurants. Do your family go to black restaurants at all? Or black caterers?
Yes.
Yes.
Do those caterers exist mostly because of white business?
No.
No. They exist the same way Cleve business exists. Now, they can't afford to have 13 trucks because Mr. Stein, who ordered 300 pounds a week, doesn't order from him. Y'all understand? So there's a lot in this that we'll keep going back to. All right. But there are key things as IA students go through this class that you'll differ. Now, you're going to hear many people, your parents, other parents. It's just so common in our community to beat us up. You're learning something different. And so I at least expect for you to model something different. To be able to offer. Well, I can't say that we don't support each other. What I'd like to say is that I'd like for us to support each other more. You see how you could add that to the conversation? Aini or Debbie?
Aini.
Okay. You could even get back to saying stuff like, you know, I wish we could get back to do it, or I hope we can get back to doing it like we used to do it. And then tell people how we used to do it. Most times people in your audience won't ever know that we used to do it. They bought the mantra so much. You are going to school here so that you can make a difference in our world now and in the future. You're not coming to school here to get a grade. You will be graded. You are being evaluated. That's not the goal. The goal is so that you have the knowledge to make a difference in our community economically. The goal in terms of this class. And so we are, this unit will begin to focus on circulation. We'll go next to creating our own currency. And we'll continue to circle back themes about currency, banks, U.S. history, that, so that you keep up with that. And then also so that you begin to look at what's necessary for us to make and use our own currency. All right. It's 10:40.
User in your channel timed out.
And then I'm looking forward.
User in your channel stopped recording.
This powerful, wonderful writing that you've done. All right, I'm done. If you got a comment you want to make, you can, or you can be done.
No. And no.